Okay, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Moed Katan Daf Chav Ches. We are way back on the 10th wide line of Daf Chav Zayin Amud Beis. Today's shiur is sponsored by Dr. David Lander, in honor of his wife and children. What we're going to discuss is as follows. First, we're going to quote several ma'amarim relating to Avelus, three teachings of Rabbi Yochanan, three of Rabbi Yehuda Merav, all relating to Avelus. Then the Gemara is going to discuss how one should mourn in the proper measure and that one is not supposed to overdo it. If one mourns more than they're supposed to, then that shows a lack of emunah b'Hashem. The Gemara is then going to discuss leaving a woman's body out unburied and relate that to Misas Miriam and the Kapara that a Misa of Tzadikim gives to us. Then the Gemara is going to discuss the duration of one's illness, the age of one's death, and what all of that means. If a person is sick for a very short amount of time, if a person dies at particular ages, what that means to us. And then the Gemara is going to tell us the different fates of Amoraim because of their mazel, that sometimes how a person's life goes is not a result of their tzidkus or lack of tzidkus, but it's a result of having a different mazel. And then Chav Ches Amud Aleph is going to conclude with five different stories of encounters with them and really negotiations with the Malach HaMavest that various Gedolei Amoraim had. And so we're just going to try to get through Amud Aleph today, Be'ezras Hashem. So let's begin again at the 10th wide line. First word on the line is Rabbi Yochanan, is Amr Rabbi Yochanan on Daf Chaf Zayin Amud Beis. So says the Gemara, Amr Rabbi Yochanan, Aval Kimishnanei Rosho, Shuvei Menachem Rosho Leishevitzla. Once the Aval shakes his head, the Menachem are not allowed to sit there anymore. The Rishonim explained in the Ritzkeis, he explains in the name of Rav Haigon that was a known simon that they would have, that when the Aval was mitzvah, that he needed to go to the bathroom or he just needed to be alone for whatever reason, he would shake his head, and that was understood that everyone should have to leave. The Levush says that when the Avil is Menaneh Rosho to let the Menachemim go, he's showing that he'd rather be alone at this point, that this is how he's going to have Nechama. Sometimes a person has Nechama by being together with other people, and sometimes a person will have greater Nechama by being alone. So he's letting them know that he needs to be alone at this point. V'am Rabbi Yochanan, a second statement of Rabbi Yochanan, Hakol Chayav Lamud Mepnei Nasi. Everyone needs to stand for a Nasi, the head of the Sanhedrin, because there's a Chiyuv to be Mechabit him, Chutz Me Avel V'Chola, except for an Avel and a Chola. They have no requirement to stand for a Nasi. There is a din in general, din Doraisa, that a person is supposed to stand for a Talmud Chacham. When the Chacham comes within Dal Ramos, the halach is the Ramban Paskins Milchus Talmud Torah Perek Vav, that a person has to stand, and once he passes through the area, then you could sit back down again. However, by a Nasi, you have to stand Misha Yirenu, not only when he's within your Dal Ramos, as soon as you see a Nasi. So we give an example of the most of the strongest obligation to stand. Instead of saying that everyone has to stand for a Talmud Chacham, we say more. Everybody has to stand for a Nasi, and the Chiddush is that an Avel and a Chola don't have to stand for a Nasi, even though he's a Nasi, and a Nasi normally gets the greatest obligation to stand for him. Now, this is a little bit unusual, because after all, an Avel is chayiv b'kol mitzvah samuris petori. He's obligated in every single mitzvah. Why would he be potter from the mitzvah to stand for a Talmud Chacham or a Nasi? So the Levush writes, because he's tarud b'tzaro, and therefore we assume that since he's in such great tzar, the Talmud Chacham, the Nasi, is mochel on the kavod. In the Shvus Yaakov, in the Tshuva, in Chelek Aleph, Sim Chavav, he says, based on the Gemara in Kiddushin, that the chayiv kima is only b'makom sheish b'hidur. If you're in a place where there is no hidur, it's not an honorable place, like a Beis HaKisa, then you don't stand for a Talmud Chacham. So too, when a person is Yoshev ala aretz ma'olol ba'afar karno, he's stuck in the throes of his avelus. So that's not considered a makom sheish bo hidur. What context is it that the Shvus Yaakov brings up that reason not to stand for nasi? Shvus Yaakov is dealing with whether one is obligated to stand for a Talmud Chacham on Tisha B'Av. The shaila is that on the one hand it says in our sugya that an avel doesn't stand for a Talmud Chacham or for a Nasi. So Tisha B'Av is also a dime of Avelus. Tisha B'Av, you have all the dinim of Shiva through Tisha B'Av, so maybe one would not have to stand. On the other hand, Tisha B'Av is fundamentally a different kind of Avelus. Tisha B'Av is an Avelus Yeshana. It's not an Avelus where one is feeling the profound impact at that at that moment. So the Levush writes, the Shvus Yaakov quotes that the Levush writes, the reason that a Novel and a Chola don't have to stand is the reason that we said before, that they're Torah B'Tzar. But Shvus Yaakov says, I don't know, I'm not sure that that's correct. It could be that that reason is very difficult, because how could you pater someone from a mitzvah just because there's Tirda? A Novel is Chayv Kol Mitzvah Samur's B'Torah Chutz Minat Filin Shnemer Ben Peher, and we don't pater him from all mitzvahs just on account of the fact that it's Tirda. Plus, says the Shvus Yaakov, is it such a Tirda to stand? When a person tears Kriya, they have to stand. We're really, is that considered such a Tirda that a person's going to stand up? Standing doesn't seem to be such a Tirda. Now, it could be if someone's in one of those low Shiva chairs, it is a Tirda to stand. It's not so easy to be getting up and getting down all the time. But that's what the Shvus Yaakov asks on the Levush, and therefore the Shvus Yaakov says, I'd rather say that the reason the Avil doesn't have to stand is because what it says in the Gemara in Kiddushin, that b'makom sheyesh b'hidur, that there's no chiyuv kima b'makom shein hidur. So an Avel is mu'ulo ba'afar, a chola is mutal al eres tvai, so it's not a kima sheyesh b'hidur. And based on that reason, Tishba, we're also yoshev ala aretz. Well, we're also sitting there in a situation of a lack of hidur, and therefore one should not have to stand on Tishbav either. You often get this question in a Beis Avil. It's one of the questions Avelim ask all the time, because a lot of rabbis come to be Menachem Avil, so they always want to know, do we have to stand for the Avil? And the answer is no. You don't have to stand. Does the Avil have to stand for the Talmud Chacham that walks in? And it's in Beferish Gemara that one does not have to stand for a Talmud Chacham that walks in. V'amar Rabbi Yochanan taught us a third thing. L'kolom lem shvu chutz mi'avil v'chola. That you tell everybody sit down if they try to stand. So the Nasi or the Talmud Chacham should say sit, except for when it comes to an Avil and a Chola, because then it sounds like you're cursing them. It's as if you're saying that you should sit in your Avelus, that you should stay in your Avelus. So if you want to say something, you say, don't bother yourself, Hashem Yivarech Haschem, Hashem should bless you, just don't worry about it. Right? But you don't say that the person should sit down. Someone just emailed me yesterday that many years ago they were at a Beis Avel, and there was a guy there who was one of these Chevroman type of, a clown type of personality. So the Avel was talking to someone off on the side, and the guy said to the Avel, do me a favor, sit down so I can be Menachem you. So there was another person there who said, no, you never tell an Avel to sit down. So he said, what are you, Mr. Avelus? He said, my name is Maurice Lamb. Nice to meet you. So he actually was Mr. Avelus, right? Rabbi Lamb wrote the book on Zichron Lebracha. Wrote the book on Avelus, sold over a million copies of his Sefer on Avelus. So that's a halacha. You're not supposed to tell the Avel to sit down. I'm Rabbi Dom Rav. So now we're going on to statements of Rabbi Dom Rav. Avel Yom Rishon Asalech Alecha Mishalo. That an Avel Yom Rishon is not allowed to eat his own food. Midam le'rachmani yecheskel, because the Torah said that Hashem tells yecheskel v'lechem anashim lo sochal, that you shouldn't eat lechem anashim. So there's a machlokas why it is that the Avel is not supposed to eat his own food, why he doesn't eat lechem anashim. The Rabbeinu Yeruchim in the quotes from the Rush that the reason for the Suda Savra is because the Avel is very distraught and he's not going to think of eating, he's not going to want to eat, he's not going to have any desire to eat, so he is not supposed to eat mishlo. We should sort of give him food to encourage him to eat, and that's a form of nichum avelim. However, the Torah and the Shulchan Aruch sound like they disagree that the avel is not allowed to eat sudur rishon mishalo. The iser is a din in avelus, that he's not a din in nichum avelim, but a din in avelus, that he's not allowed to eat mishalo. It's a nihug of avelus about when he eats the meal. So we've pointed out in the past, the nafkamina would be, can the sudas havra be delivered before the kvura? That if you deliver it to the house before the kvura, there's no nichum avelim before the kvura. And then maybe the community didn't do its job, its responsibility, if it's a din in nichum avelim. But if it's a din in avelus, then as long as when it comes time to eat the meal, he's not eating mishalo, he's eating from what was provided for him, so then it's perfectly fine to be able to eat the meal. Ramosha writes in the Tshuva in Yerodei Chelek Beis in Kuf Samaches that this sheet of Rabbein Yeruchim, that it's in order that people should give him, that the Iker din of Avra is he's not interested in eating, and that other people should provide him. So the Ramosha quotes that, and he quotes the Torah as well, and he writes the nafkamina is whether there's chiv havra b'moed. He gives a different nafkamina. Is there a chiv of sudas havra b'moed? That according to Rabbeinu Yeruchim, there should be a din of havra b'moed, even though there's no isra achila mishalo. There's a chiv simcha b'moed, but there should be a chiv havra because the purpose of havra is to get him to eat, because he's not going to be interested in eating. That's true on chol hamoed also. He's not going to be interested in eating. But if you say that it's a din in a nihu gavelus, so then he shouldn't be noheg the dine avelus on chalamoit. So that would be another nafkamina between these two reasons given for the suda savra. Rabbi Rav Yosef machlufi suda sayla adadi. Rabbi Rav Yosef used to trade suudos with each other. Pashup shalit means that when one of them was an avel, the other one provided him with the suda, and when the other was the avel, the first one provided him with the suda. Meaning they had a deal who would provide who with a suuda. Now the Rush writes it could not have been a tanai though. If it was a tanai, then they wouldn't be yotze because it has to be something that you're not entitled to. That's it's a gift that somebody is giving you, but not something that that you've paid for or that he owes to you. Then it would not be a fulfillment of the requirement of suda savra. Rabbeinu Yehonasan says differently though. He says that when one of them was an avel, they would trade meals, meaning they were poor. They didn't have enough money to be able to just provide meals for other people. Each one had their own meal. So when one of them was an avel, just to be able to not eat mishalo, they would switch meals with each other. Vam Rav Yidom Rav, the second segment of Rav Yidom Rav, Meis Be'ir, Kol B'nei Ya'ir, Asur Masiyus Malacha. When there's a dead person in the city, when there's a mace that's unburied in the city, no one is allowed to do malacha at that time. Rav Hamnuna Ikla L'Dromasa, Rav Hamnuna went to a city called Dromasa, Shama Kol Shippura D'Shichva, and he heard the sounds of the shofar that were announcing that someone had died. And he saw people that were doing work. He said, I'm going to put you in a cherim right away. Isn't there a dead body in the city? How could you go do work? So they said, there is a dead body in the city, but there are also chaburus of people that take care of these things. There's a chaver kadisha, so it's not our responsibility. He said, oh, if that's the case, then you're allowed to do work. That's our heter. That's why we're allowed to do work every single day. Even though in a large city there are always mesim, at some point there are levayas in the funeral homes every single day because there's a chaver kadisha that's appointed by the members of the city to take care of the mesim. And then the third statement of Rav Yidom Rav, kol miskash al mesim yosim yidai al mes acher hu bocha, a terrible curse that someone who overdoes their avelus and he cries over his mace more than is normal, so he's gonna, there's a curse that he's it's as if he's showing anger at Kodesh Baruch Hu, and he's gonna experience more avelus in his life. And the story goes that there was a woman in Rav Huna's neighborhood. She had seven sons. One of them died. And she was overdoing the crying over that child. Rav Huna said, you shouldn't do this. She didn't listen to him. She didn't stop crying. So he said, if you're going to listen to me, good. That if not, you're going to have to prepare tachrichin for your other children. Miss umisukulu. Then another child died, and then they all died. Lusof amrla tamer zavdus l'nivshich. Then when she still didn't stop crying, he said, you're going to have to prepare tachrichin for yourself. Umesa, and she also died, and that was because she was being misonin on the midos of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. She had tainas on the ribono shalom, and a person who overdoes it and has tainas on the ribono shalom, it's not going to end well for such a person. The Navi tells us, Al tivku lemeis va'al tagudulo. So we darshan, Al tivku lemeis means yoser midai, more than is appropriate. Va'al tagudulo means yoser mikashir, more than the proper measure. So haketzad, what is the proper measure? Shlosh yamim libchi, 3 days non-stop crying. 3 days is bechi. The first 3 days we assume a person has to emote in a very strong way. Shiva lehesped, the seven days is hesped, meaning you're talking about the mace, you're telling stories, you're discussing their midos. Shloshim legihutz, then 30 days you're still not acting in the normal way. Legihutz l'tespores, you're not wearing pressed clothing, you're not getting a haircut, you're not shaving. Mikan ve'elach, after that, Omer Kodesh Baruch Hu, i'atam rachmanim bo yosim imeni. Hashem says, you're not having more rachmanis on him than I'm having on him. The girsa of the Rosh is, v'chi atem rachman alav yosim imeni, you think you have more rachmanos than I have on him? The Rama Minuch Savil Parakid Gimel Lach Alf writes the reason for this halacha that a person should not be miskash al meso and should not be boche yosem yidai is that it's minhago shal olam, and someone who's mitzair about minhago shal olam, it's tipshus, it's foolishness to be mitzair minhago shal olam. These are the rules of the world. People live, people die, and a person is going to act as if he's the first person that ever suffered avelus, that is the first person that it's like a total shock to the system that there's such a thing that a person dies. So that's on the flip side, side. If you're not miskashal meso at all, so that's achzarius. That shows a sign of cruelty, that a person has to have a heart and a person has to emote and a person has to react, but it has to be in proper measure. It's an interesting phrase. Iyatem rachmanu bo yosim many. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying that you don't have more rachmanus than I do. This is the Rishon to point out. Why is it that Hashem is more rachmanus than we do on people? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu created them. We get to know them, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu created them. No one is more connected to something than the one who actually created it, right? This is what they call in psychology the IKEA effect, right? You can have different items of furniture in your house. The stuff that you bought, okay, you like the stuff that you bought. The stuff that you made, that you take special pride in. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu made all of humanity. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu has much more of a connection to people. It says, Gemara, b'chu b'chol l'holeich, am Rav Yehuda l'holeich b'lo banim. What does the pasuk mean? It says, b'chu b'chol l'holeich, that there should be extra crying for someone who died without any children. Rabbi Shua ben Levi, because it's extra tragic. Rabbi Shua ben Levi, lo azal be avla, ella lemanda azal blo bani. He generally didn't go to a beisa avel because he was always learning, so he didn't want to be mevatel milimudo, except for someone who died without any children. He wanted to maximize his visits to the beisa avel when it's the most tragic of circumstances, and that's what he considered the most tragic of circumstances, when someone died without any children. Kiloyo shavod v'ra aseretz maladto, Rav this is a reference to someone who did an Aveira and was Shanaba, violated the Aveira a second time. That's a reference to someone who's never going to do tshuva, that he's just living the way he chooses to live, and he does an Aveira multiple times. And this is Rav Huna l'tamei. This is Rav Huna l'shitaso. Rav Huna kivish avar adam Aveira v'shanaba, hutralo. Rav Huna is one that says that once a person does an Aveira and repeats the Aveira, it becomes mutter to him. So hutralo salkadai. Is there such a thing that the Navera becomes mutter to you just because you've done it twice? Ela ema nasis lo keheter. No, it doesn't mean that it becomes literally mutter to him, but rather that he treats it like a heter. This is there's a question in the gear. So when we say kiloyo shavod v'ra'as aretz maladato, Rav Huna Amar, so the Ritva is a girsa that it's Amar Rav Huna, not Rav Huna Amar. And he explains that Rav Huna is not being cholik on the drasha of Rav Yehuda, that b'chu b'chu l'holich is talking about someone who's cholik b'lobanim. This is a hemshech of the same pasuk. So we just said that the pasuk was talking about someone who's cholik b'lobanim, and now Rav Huna says it's about something else entirely. It's about someone who does averos multiple times. So the Ritva says he's not arguing on that drasha that we said. He's just giving another drasha, an additional level of interpretation, and he thinks that all of the levels of interpretation are correct. That it's true that someone who dies below banim is considered extra tragic, and it's also true that someone who does an avera multiple times that it becomes keheter, and that's Rav Huna's famous drasha that nasis lo keheter. The Avnei Nezer is quoted by his son, by the Shem Yishmuel in Parshas Yisro, Tafrei Shayin Vav, where he says, well, you know, if Chazal wanted to tell us that a person does an avera twice, it's nasis lo keheter, why did they have to first say hutralo? Really? That's how it works? You just do an avera multiple times and right away it becomes mutter? No, that's ridiculous. Nasis lo keheter. Why couldn't they just say that? It's nasis lo keheter. So the Avnei Nezer says that it's being merames to another important idea, that every Jewish person has a very strong kesher la'aviyam shevel shemayim. And when a person does an avera, that kesher to HaKadosh Baruch Hu is weakened in some way. And when a person does an avera a second time, the kesher is undone. It's untied. So hutralo is a reference to that kesher, that a person is avar adam avera, v'shanaba, he does an avera twice. Hutralo means not that it becomes mutter to him, but that that kesher becomes untied, that the knot between him and HaKadosh Baruch Hu that binds him to HaKadosh Baruch Hu becomes untied. He has a distance, a certain distance from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In that, he views the Tzivoy Hashem as something that's not really binding on him. It's nasis lo keheter. The averos become mutter. He views it as if it's mutter to him. Amar Rabbi Levi, Avol Shloshim Rishonim Yiras Atzmo Kilu Cherev Menachas Lo Bein Shtei Kseifav, that an Avol during the first 3 days should see as if the should view it as if there's a sword in between the shoulders, meaning there's a tremendous threat against him right now. Mishlosh ad shiva, between 3 and 7 days of avelus, ki'ilu menachso kenegdo b'keren zavis, the sword is still there, it's in the room, in the keren zavis off in the corner, but you could still see it out of the corner of your eye. Mikan ve'elech ki'ilu averes kenegdo b'shuk. And afterwards, it's still there, but not as much of a looming presence. It's only there in the shuk when you go out in the shuk. Meaning, there is this progression from feeling a tremendous tremendous sense of a threat against one's family, to over time that being lifted as the avelus continues. If I'm not mistaken, I don't think it's a Bavli. I think Yerushalmi says that nolad lo ben zachar. The Shulchan Aruch quotes, but I think it's based on Yerushalmi. It's in Shulchan Aruch that if there's a ben zachar born into that family, so then that all of that goes away. That a person that the family should view it as if there's something out against that family, but then when a ben zachar is born into that family, so then they know that everything is back to normal and that they have a nechama. Then we said in the Mishnah that even though you don't leave a mita out on Chol HaMoed, normally you would leave a mita out per Ruchav HaShalir, except for a mita shel nashim. You never leave a mita shel nashim out because of kavod, because it's undignified for a woman's body to be left out. So Amin Ardai, they said in Arda, lo shanu, this din, that leaving an isha out per Ruchav, is inappropriate elechaya. That's only true if she died in childbirth, because then there are all sorts of bodily fluids that may be emerging from her body, and that's undignified. Aval shar nashim, but a regular woman who's not experiencing any unnatural flow of dam, manichin, you can leave out beruchav shalir. Rabbi Elazar Amar afilu shar nashim. He says no. Even when it comes to other women who did not die in childbirth, tichsiv. How do I know that? Because the pasuk says vatamasham Miriam vatikaver sham. From the fact that it says sham twice, samuch lemisa kvura. You see that her kvura had to be shortly after the misa. So Miriam didn't die in childbirth, and you still see that there's a din of samuch lemisa kvura that you're not supposed to leave the person out. So the Yad David raises the question, so what are Nardai going to respond to this limud of Rabbi Elazar? It's a pretty good raya that Miriam died sham, that right away samuch lemisa kvura. We don't know of her having childbirth at that point in time. She didn't have childbirth at that point in time. So the Yad David says they must say that Miriam, because she was such a great tzaddikas, they gave an extra level of kavod to her burial. But when it comes to other women, maybe you don't have to give that level of kavod, that level of dignity, to not leave them out at all. So in a chinami, they all agree that with Miriam, the kavura was soon after her patira. But maybe you don't have to do that for every woman, only if it's going to be an extremely undignified situation. So Vamra Blazer, once we talk about Miriam's patira, af Miriam benishika mesa, that Miriam died similar to Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov, Moshe, and Aaron, she also died b'neshika. That's a brisa in Maseches Bava Basra, at the end of the first paragraph of Bava Basra, that there are shisha lo shalot ben Malach HaMaves. There are six people that the Malach HaMaves didn't have power over, and they are Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov, Moshe, Aaron, and Miriam. Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, it says bakol, that bakol mikol kol, by each one. Moshe, Aaron, and Miriam, it says al pi Hashem. So that's what the Gemara says. Mrs. Miriam, it doesn't say al pi Hashem. What do you mean it says al pi Hashem? It says it by Moshe and Aaron, but it doesn't say it by Miriam. So the Gemara says, in that context, Vamar Blazer, af Miriam ben Nishika Mesa, that Miriam was also al pi Hashem. It was also a Misas Nishika. As Yasham Shami Moshe, even though it doesn't say al pi Hashem, but we have Gzeres Shav, it says Vatamas Sham Miriam, and by Moshe it says Vayamas Sham Moshe. So we learn that just like by Moshe it's al pi Hashem, by Miriam it's also al pi Hashem. Umrei ma lo nemar ba al pi Hashem, why doesn't the Pasuk say al pi Hashem? Umrei Shaganaya Dover La Omro, to say that it's a Gnai, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to describe him kissing a woman, to mention Nishika, Klapei the Shechina for a woman. That's how Rashi understands. So therefore, it is al pi Hashem, it just doesn't say it explicitly. Amar Rabbi Ami, Lominis Chavis Miriam Parshas Paraduma, why is it that the Misa of Miriam is juxtaposed with the Parsha of the Paraduma? Lomar Lcha Ma Paraduma Mechaperes, Af Misas Shal Tzadikim Mechaperes. To teach us that just like Paraduma is Mechaper, so too, what was Paraduma Mechaper for? It was Mechaper Dafka for the Chere Egel. Right? That's what Tosafot points out based on the Medrash. That it's Moshal Ben Shivcha. It's like you have a Ben Shivcha that messes up the whole palace of the king. There's one of the maids who works in the king's house, and she brings her kid to work, and he messes up the whole palace. So the king says, let the mother go and clean up what the child did. So Sotu HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, let the para go and clean up what the Egel did. So it's a kapara for the Chele Egel. So too, the Misa of Tzadikim is Mechaperes on the Averos of their generation. Amar Blazer, another limud that seems to be telling me the same thing. Lama Nispa Misa Saron Lebig Dekuna. Why is Misa Saron juxtaposed with the big day kuhuna. The pasuk says ve'avshet Moshe Aaron es begadav ve'albeish osam es Elazar beno ve'yamos Aaron sham. Right after it talks about removing his begadim and giving them to Elazar beno. So you see, it says ve'yamos Aaron sham. So ma big day kuhuna mechaprin af misas shal tzadikim mechaper. To tell me that just like the big day kuhuna are mechaper, it's daf yomi coincidence. Parshat Tetzave, just like the big day kuhuna provide a person with kapara, so too the misa of tzadikim provides a person with kapara. Misachas Zvachim, it goes through what each of the big day kuhuna are mechaper for. And Zvachim daf peches, it tells us that the ketones is mechaper for shvichas damim that was done with edim and bemezid, but without asra'a. The mechnasayim is mechaper for gilei arayos. The mitznefes is mechaper for gasei aruach. The avnet is mechaper for hirur aleif. The choshen is mechaper for dinim. The ephod is mechaper for avodah zara. The mi'il is mechaper for lashonar befarhesia. The tzitz is mechaper for azus panim. So it goes through how we know each of those things, that it's the big day kuhuna. Each item of big day kuhuna is mechaper for some major avera. Question is why we need both of these drushes. We already said that Misas Miriam is juxtaposed with Parah Aduma to tell me this very same limud, that Misas Tzadikim is mechaper. So what's added when we then say that Misas Aaron is juxtaposed with big day kuhuna, so I could learn that Misas Tzadikim is mechaper. So the Iun Yaakov says that there is something additional over here, because over here we see that Misas Tzadikim is mechaper even for Averu Shemenon Lechavero, because the first limud was only about Parah Aduma and the Egel Azov. The Egel Azov is Bein al-Makom. Over here by the big day kuhuna, it's mechaper for Lashon Hara, it's mechaper for things that are Bein Adam Lechavero, that are Misas Tzadikim could even be mechaper for such things. The drush of Ravami is also needed to tell me that it's not only Misas Tzadikim, but it's Misas Tzidkanios as well. That one might have thought that Misas Tzadikim, because men are chayiv in more mitzvos than women are. No, the Misas Tzidkanios, who is also mechaper just as much. So that's why we need both of these drushes. So once we mention Misas Nashika, the Gemara brings a discussion about different types of Misa. How long does a person have to be? Is a person sick? What does it mean for a person if they're sick for X amount of time before they die? So Tan Rabbanan, the Brisa tells us as follows: Meis Pitom, if a person just dies suddenly, Zui Mis Chatufa, it's as if he's been snatched from this world. That's not a good way to die. Chala Yom Echad, if they were sick for one day, Vameis Zui Mis Duchufa, it's as if they were rushed out of the room. They were rushed out of the world. Rabbi Chanan ben Gamliel Omer, that if a person dies after being sick for one day, Zui Mis Smagefa, that's considered the Misa of a plague. Shenamar, because the pasuk says in the Nevuah that was said to Yecheskel HaNavi about the death of his wife, Ben Adam, hinni lokech mimcha es machma leinecha b'magefa, that I'm going to take machma leinecha as a reference to his wife, b'magefa. I'm going to take it away. That's by the way, it's an important. One should that should be one's attitude, and that should be how one sees how other people see the way one looks at his wife. That it should be machma leinecha, that the apple of his eye, that she's the most precious to him. So he said, I'm going to take away your machma leinecha b'magefa. Uksiv, and how did Yecheskel's wife die? Va'daber alam baboker va'tamas ishti ba'erev. Then in the morning, I told the nevuah to the nation. That day she got sick, and then that evening when the day was over, she died. So you see that it was a choli yom echad. She was sick for one day, and after being sick for one day, she died. Shnei yamim v'meis. If a person is sick for 2 days and they die, zui misa duchuya. That's a misa like you're being docha something. You're pushing something away until it's gone. Shlosha ga'ara. 3 days and then they die. That's a misa of ga'ara. It's as if you're saying, get out of here. You're trying to tell someone to leave. Arba'a nazifa. 4 days is considered nazifa, as if you're not interested in looking at them. It's similar to a menuda. Chamisha zui misas kal adam. In 5 days, and then the person dies. That's natural. That's that's a midatova. That's the proper amount of illness that you'll will be, provide a person with enough warning to be able to look after all of his affairs, to have a conversation with his children, to be mitzvah them before he goes. That's what the Ritva writes. That's what it means. Misas kal adam. That's a bracha. The Yin Yaakov writes that the Brice is trying to tell us. What's the value of knowing? You don't get to choose this anyway. So what's the value of knowing this? How happy HaKadosh Baruch Hu is with a person who dies after 1 day illness, 2 day illness, 3 day illness. So the Iun Yaakov writes, because a person is supposed to daven for a Misa Yafa. So you have to know what you're supposed to daven for. That you should daven Sheyamus B'Misas Kal Adam. The Gemara in Brachos and Daf Chesam Ralev tells us Rav Nachum Yitzchak darshens the Pasuk Al Zos Yispalil Kol Chassid Elech Le'is Mitzo Zumisa. Teleis mitzvah is misa. So Rashi writes over there that you should daven, that yamus b'misa yafa v'nocha, that you should, that a person should daven, that they should die. A person can't daven that they shouldn't die. Everyone dies. So you daven that one should die in the best possible way. Amar Rabbi Chanan Maikra, what's the pasuk that tells me that's merames, that 5 days is like the ideal, saying korvu yamech lamos. By the misa Moshe Rabbeinu, it says hein korvu yamech lamos. Hein is chad, that's 1 day. Karvu is Lashon Rabim, so that's trades, 2 more. Yamecha is also Lashon Rabim, it's trades, another 2 more. Hachamishas, there you see that it's 5 days. Hein chad shekein b'Lashon Yevani karen la'achas hein. How do I know hein means one? Because in Lashon Yevani, in Greek, hein means one. Meis b'chamishim shani. Now we're going to discuss different ages that a person dies. A person dies at the age of 50, zui misas kares. That's considered the kares that the Torah speaks about. Chamishim u'shtayim shana, zui misas shel Shmuel HaRamasi. Person dies at the age of 52, that's the Misa of Shmuel HaRamasi. He died when he was 52 years old. There were particular circumstances over there. Shmuel didn't want to see the downfall of Shaul, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu got rid of Shmuel from this world in order that he shouldn't have to see the downfall of Shaul. Shishim Zui Misa Bidei Shemayim. 60 years old, that's considered Misa Bidei Shemayim. The way the Rishonim understand is not what we call Misa Bidei Shemayim. It means it's the normal Misa. It's the Misa that a normal person normally experiences when people die, just in the normal way. So that's considered when a person is 60 years old. But Amar Mar Zutra, Micro, what's the pasuk that Merames, that 60 years old is considered Kederach B'nei Adam? Tichsiv, because the pasuk says, by the good things that a person can be Zocha, by being a person Zocha to, by being Messiasa B'Yisurim, Tavo B'Kelach Eliyu Kever, or B'Kelach B'Gematria, the Gematria, B'Kelach Hashitin Havu, it's 60. Because Beis is 2, Chaf is 20, Lamed is 30, Ches is 8, so it's a total of 60. That you shouldn't die before a person reaches the age of 60. Shivim Seva. If a person reaches the age of 70, that's already considered Seva. That's an old age, and that's Kavod. Shmonim Gvuros. If a person reaches the age of 80, that's considered to be Gvuros. Tuchsiv, Yimeshno Seinuvem Shivim Shana, Vim Begvuros Shmonim Shana. So it's a question of whose Gvura that is. Some of the Rishonim say it shows that the person is such Gvura that he's able to live for that long, that he must be, his makeup must be that he's very powerful. Others say, no, it's the Gvuros Shal Kadosh Baruch Hu, that's all the Matana from a Kadosh Baruch Hu. So he's taking it, he's tapping into the Gvura of the Ribbono Shel Olam. Right? You see a Gemara like this, and you're reminded of how fortunate we are to live in a generation where the life expectancy is what it is. It wasn't always like that, right? The Gemara is talking about, and now a person dies when they're 70. We don't say, Seva Tova, that they, it's tragic when a person dies when they're 70 nowadays. So, Amar Rabba, Mechamishma Chishim Shana, between the age of 50 and 60, he misas kares. That's considered a misas kares. And the reason that the Brisa doesn't mention that, it just says that Chamishim is kares, and doesn't say between 50 and 60, Mishum Kvodo Shel Shmuel HaRamasi, because Shmuel died between 50 and 60, so it's not respectful to mention that someone who dies between 50 and 60 is Chayev Kares. Shmuel was not Chayev Kares. Shmuel died between 50 and 60, as we said, because there were other circumstances over there. Now, what exactly the difference is between Kares on the one hand and Misa Bidei Shemayim on the other hand is a major Machlokas Rishonim. Rashi writes in a number of places in Misach HaShabbos and in his commentary on Chumash that someone who's Chayev Kares will die Kodem Zmano, he's going to die childless, meaning that not only is he going to get punished, but his children will get punished as well. Whereas Misa Bidei Shemayim, only he gets punished, Bikitzur Yam, but not his children. He's going to die prematurely, but not his children. Tosos writes in Misach Shabbos and Misach Zivamos that the difference between Karis and Misa Bidei Shemayim is in the precise age. And it's a machlok between Bavli and Yerushalmi, that according to the Bavli, someone who's Chayev Karis will die before the age of 60. Misa Bidei Shemayim will be after the age of 60, but there's no Zman Kavur for it. It's just that he's not going to live as long as he should have lived. He otherwise would have lived. Whereas the Yerushalmi in the second paragraph of Masechet Bikurim says that someone who's Chayev Kares will die before the age of 50, and Misa Bidei Shemayim will die before the age of 60. So those are the different opinions in terms of what the difference is between Kares on the one hand and Misa Bidei Shemayim. But you see that over here we're saying Kares is before the age of 60. That's the Shita Sabavli. Rav Yosef Keva Bar Shita, when Rav Yosef turned 60 years old, Avdu Yom Tov the Rabbanan, he made a party for the Rabbanan. So Amr Nafki Limi Karis, he said, it's worthy of a party, because now I see that I'm not Chayiv Karis. Amle Abai, Nihit Nafak Leimar Mikaris Tishani, you may not be Chayiv Karis of dying premature number of years, Mikaris Tiyami Minafik Mar, but are you sure that you're not Chayiv Karis from having your days cut short, meaning after the age of 60, maybe you were supposed to live longer than you will. So Amalei, Nikodach Mia Pal Gabiyadach. He said, okay, but at least I could celebrate that I didn't suffer the Karis Tishani, at least I didn't die in the premature number of years. Rafuna Nachnafshe Pitam, Rafuna died very suddenly. Have a Kadagi Rabban. The Rabban were worried, maybe it was a Misa Chatufa. So Taral Zugud Mehadiev, a two Tamid Chum came from Mehadiev, and they said, Lo Shanu Ella Shalo Egil Gvuros, of Egil Gvuros, Zui Misa Nashika, that if a person dies very suddenly at a young age, that's considered a Misa Chatufa. But if a person dies after the age of 80, very suddenly, that's considered Misas Nashika, that's considered great bracha. Amar Rava, Chai B'ni Mazoni, Lobos Chusa Talia Milsa. A person's chayim, banim, and mizonos do not depend on his chus, el b'mazal etalimil. So it all depends on mazal. The rabbi of Rav Chisda, and the raya is rabbi and Rav Chisda, tarvai rabban and tzaddiki havu. They were both enormous tzaddikim. Mar matzli v'asi mitra, mar matzli v'asi mitra. How great were they in their tzidkos? Either one of them, whenever they davened, it rained. Whenever they davened for rain, it rained. Rav Chisda, chaya tishin v'tartinshin. Rav Chisda lived to the age of 92, ripe old age. Rabbi chaya arba'in. Rabbi only lived to the age of 40. In Rav Chista's house, there were 80 weddings of his children and grandchildren, great grandchildren. By Rabba, there were 60 times of Avelos in the deaths of his children and grandchildren. By Rav Chista, they would give the finest food, the finest flour for the bread that they gave to the dogs. And the dogs had so much to eat, they weren't even interested in it. They had such plenty. By Rabba, the Hamad Asari Lynch. By Rabba's house, they were giving barley bread, which is really a Michael Behema, to people, and they couldn't find enough of it. They were starving. They wanted, they needed, they didn't even have sufficient supply of animal food to feed to the people. So you see that it's all about mazel. That there are three things that I asked from Shemayim that I should be given, Rava said. Tarti Yavali, two of them were given to me. Chadalo Yavali, one of them was not. Chuchmasi Dravuna v'utre Dravchista, I wanted the wisdom of Ravuna. I wanted the wealth of Rav Chisda v'yavli. I got both of those things. And vasnuse d'rab baravuna v'lo yavli. But I wanted the anivus of Rab baravuna, and I didn't get that. It was not given to me. The Marsha raises the question, what do you mean it was not given to you? Anivus isn't given to you. It's a midah. You have to work on it like every other midah. You have to work your whole life in order to develop a midah. So he says, yeah, but al yidei riboy tefila v'tachnunim, he wanted siyata d'shmaya to achieve that midah. Balatayir mesayayin also. Right, that's true of everything. The Gemara at the end of Maseches Nida, Habalo Halo Sagya, that you can work for everything, and it's important to work for everything. But without Tefillah, it doesn't sound enough. A person has to daven for everything that they want, including their midos. Rav Sarum Achua de Rava, Havi Yasek Pemei de Rava, was sitting in front of Rava. Chazi Dava Kabinamnen. He saw Rava's neshama was leaving him. Sarmalei Lemalei Mar. So Rava said to Rav Sarum, tell the Malach HaMavis Dolat Tzaren to leave me alone. Amalei Mar Lav. He said, aren't you buddies with the Malach HaMavis? You know I had the conversation with him. What do you need me for? He's not going to listen to me because my mazel is already ebbing away. He said, okay, I'll have a conversation with Malach HaMavis. I want you to come back to me in a dream, though, and tell me if it worked. So Rava appeared to him in a dream. Did you have any tsar when you died? It was like the bloodletting needle. It was a small amount of pain in death. Rava Aviyaskum made Rav Nachman. Rava was once sitting with Rav Nachman, Chazi to come in our name, and he saw Rav Nachman was dying. So Amalei, so the Rav Nachman said to Rava, tell the Malach HaMavis, lo letzaren, not to cause me tzar. Amalei, Mar Lav Adam Chashavu, aren't you an Adam Chashav? Can't you do this? This story obviously preceded the previous story. So Amalei, Man Chashavu, he said, who's Chashav? Man Safin, who's considered a person who is the Malach HaMavis is afraid of? Man Rukia, who's considered someone that you could ask such things of the Malach HaMavis? So Amalei, so Rava said, okay, I'll do the request, but Ischazi Limar, I want you to appear to me in a dream and tell me what happened. Ischazi Le, you appeared to him in a dream. Amalei, Havalei Limar Tzara. He said, did you have any Tzara on your death? Amalei, Kemishcha Benisa Michalva. It's like pulling a hair out of milk. It was so smooth and easy. Yamalei, Akarosh Baruch Hu, Zil Ba'u Alma, katavis lo be'ina denafish be'asuse. But if Hashem would ask me to go through the experience again, I wouldn't want to do it because it was very terrifying. Rav Lazar of kachul truma. Rav Lazar was eating truma. Ischazile, the malachim of us came to take him. Amalei truma kachul. You can't take me now. I'm eating truma. V'lav kodesh ikri isn't it called? Kodesh is going to become tamei. So chalfele shaita, the malachim of us couldn't take him at that time, and then he lived many more years. Rav Sheshes ischazile b'shuk. Rav Sheshes saw the malachim of us in the shuk. Amalei b'shuka kebehema. You're going to kill me right here like an animal. Yisal gabim esam. Let's at least go back home. Let me die with some dignity. Ravashi is chazal b'shuk. Ravashi saw the malachim of us in the shuk. Amalei itzroch li tlosin yamin va'ashad el talmudai. Give me 30 days to chazal my learning. Damri so hashem mishabel lekan v'talmud biyado. Because we know that someone is fortunate. They come with their learning to shemayim. Biyom tlosin asa on day 30. Didn't wait till after day 30. On day 30 he came. Amalei maikulei hai. You're in such a rush. You have to come on day 30. So kadachka ragle the Rav Nosson. He said back to him, I have to because the Rav Huna Bar Nosson is supposed to take over for you. And then malchus nogas mechavirta afilu kumlo nima. It's his time already. Rav Chisel avi yachle. Rav Chisel the malchum avis was unable to get him. So lava shasipum migius because he didn't stop learning. So he went and he shook the cedar trees. Paka arza and the cedar tree broke and made a loud noise. Shasak Rav Chisel stopped learning for a second. Viyachle, and that's when he was able to chap him right at that point in time. Similar to the story of Masech Shabbos about David HaMelech. Rav Chia lava matzi lemikravelei. Rav Chia the malchum avis couldn't get anywhere near him. Yom chab inmele ka'anya. So the malchum avis appeared like an ani. Asatar v'abava. He came knocking on the door. Amalei apikli rifta. He said, I'd like some bread. Afikulei. They brought him bread. Amalei v'lav kamarachi mara anya. You have such rachmanis on a poor person. Ahu gavra amaylo kamarachi mara. Why can't you have rachmanis on the malchum avis? So Galilei, and he exposed his identity. He revealed his identity. He showed that he was the malchum avis. Achvele shuta denora. And he showed a whip of fire because the malchum avis was getting whipped for not doing his job. So amtile nafshe. So then he said, you're right. I have rachmanis on you too. And he allowed him to take his neshama, and that was his petira. So Be'ez Hashem, tomorrow we'll pick up with the Mishnah on the top of Daf Chav Ches Amid Beis as we go toward the end of the Masechta. Everyone have a wonderful day.